My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome into Character Concerns, a live edition this week. Jay Binkley with my partner, as always, for the NFL Draft Show. Character Concerns, one Chris Inocero. Good morning, Chris.
How's it going, man?
It's going good. Well, what, 19 days away from the NFL Draft?
Yeah, we are officially under the three-week mark. So it's coming up really quickly, and I know you are excited. I'm very excited for us getting into the draft coverage here in April.
Well, we do Character Concerns each and every week. We podcast it on Mondays. We release it on Tuesdays. They play it on Saturday mornings. We're doing a live edition because Chris and I had a little rain delay in Baltimore with the Royals and Orioles the other day. We had three hours.
This whole week got washed out, man.
We had 3 hours playing for you Wednesday night, but we'll be back for 3 hours on Thursday night, NFL Draft Special, 610 Sports Radio. And I will remind you of this. If you're not doing anything April 25th, the 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Party at the Landing in Liberty on the 25th, it's brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Fill out brackets, see what you want. You get points each pick you get right. $610 plus autographed Chiefs merchandise. All 610 staff will be in attendance, and Chris and I will be there with, I don't know, what do you think, 5 hours plus of draft coverage that night?
Somewhere between 5 to 6 hours. If it goes anywhere like it did last year where we were almost midnight, I think it was at midnight when we got off the air. It was about 6 hours of coverage there, so yeah.
Then Friday night, we got another 5+. Saturday, 4. Sunday, 2.5. Those will be more strict times because of the Kansas City Royals.
It's about 4.5, I think, for Saturday. I think we're off at 2:30. And the Royals coverage starts at 4.
But anyway,
But
download the podcast. We do it each and every week and all year, too. It's not like we just around draft season, we fire this microphones up. No, we do it all year, throughout the summer even. And then we basically chase these players down each and every week, look at matchups from every college football game, who you're going to watch for draft selections, and we'll talk about it. Brian Thomas Jr., this guy, we saw this guy, you know, climb from – you know, maybe second or third round to early first round to running a 4.39 at the combine and lead the nation in touchdown catches this year. But we follow these guys the whole way. I've been on wide receivers the whole time, Chris, and it's even more pertinent now for the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, I keep seeing these mocks. You and I were laughing earlier because these people still have corners, safety from Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. What the hell are you thinking, man? We don't know what's going to happen to Rashee Rice. I mean, you got to let the facts sort itself out. But could the NFL pop him for a couple games? Absolutely. And then you have Hollywood Brown, Justin Watson still under contract. They need a wide receiver. They need one even worse right now for the future of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the Bills situation, I think that really kind of affects the aggressiveness that you should have at trying to go move up and get a wide receiver, because we know, I mean, I think we both thought that the Bills were probably going to be in the market for a receiver anyways because of Gabe Davis leaving. But now that you trade away Stephon Diggs for nothing, basically, now you're in a really tough spot because you really have to be aggressive if you're the Bills and trying to get another wide receiver, because otherwise you're probably not going to compete. And if you're the Chiefs, you know that there's a lot of teams out there that could use a wide receiver, and this is the year to do it because it's a good receiver class. So you're probably going to have to move up now, I think, even more so than what you had before, which was probably pertinent for you to move up at least a little bit ahead of the Bills.
Like, how good is this wide receiver class? Well, put it this way. Matt Miller used to do the draft for Bleacher Report, one of the most well-known names for the NFL draft, works for ESPN now at this time. He thinks 4 to 5 quarterbacks in the first round. That might be a little bit too aggressive. I can definitely maybe see 4 quarterbacks going in the first round. It would have been more if Quinn Ewers decided to go out this year in the NFL. Wide receiver, he's got 7 to 8. Now, the over-under on wide receivers taken the first round on DraftKings is 6.5. That's the over-under, 7.5. I've been saying 7. Chris and I did a full NFL mock draft a couple months ago, and we had 7, I think, which would have tied the record.
I think we had 6. I'm pretty sure it was less than what normal. Maybe we had 7.
To tie the record is 7. That was 2004. 8 to 9 offensive linemen, Matt Miller's saying as well in the first round. That's 100% accurate there. Now, tackles, the record is 7 in 2008. That'd be 20 of 32 picks in the first round, either being quarterbacks, wide receiver, linemen. Two of those, I think, are the Chiefs' top two positions of need, which is wide receiver and offensive line. So it's going to be competitive. We'll see where the run begins on these players. But as we mentioned, Stephon Diggs trade, pretty big as far as, well, the balance of power in the AFC. He put Houston up there. I thought Houston was barely not on tier one. I thought tier one was the Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Last year I went in with Buffalo and Cincinnati. Cincinnati still got to prove some things, I think, to get back up there. But Houston now goes up there. And if you wonder who the Chiefs are going to play that first Thursday night game, look no further than the Houston Texans. I think that's who the Chiefs will play in opening week. They acquired Stephon Diggs for a 2024 sixth-round pick, a 2025 fifth-round pick. It's what the Texans get. So they get Diggs, they get a sixth round this year and a fifth round next year, and the Bills get a 2025 second-round pick. And Buffalo carries a $31 million dead cap hit for Stephon Diggs, which isn't good for the Buffalo Bills.
Not at all.
What you're thinking, but Buffalo now has 11 picks. They have 11 picks. They had 10 picks going in. They now have 11 picks. So what that means is Buffalo allegedly has been making calls to move up in the draft. And there's a reason that Buffalo doesn't like the Kansas City Chiefs. You see that Stephon Diggs, he had a chance to go to different teams, but they specifically told him, you're not going to the Chiefs. They will not trade you to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think that was pretty obvious.
They've learned their lesson. They've learned their lesson. Deontay Johnson, the Steelers, the same thing, allegedly. You're not going to the Chiefs. But you remember the Patrick Mahomes, that 10th selection of the draft was because of the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills created this problem for themselves in the Chiefs having Patrick Mahomes. 100% it's the Buffalo Bills' fault. Then they jumped ahead of him to get Trent McDuffie, and the video's great, in the draft room when the Chiefs make that move to get McDuffie, hopped over him. They settle on Kyrie Elam, who can barely get on the field for him. So another victory for the Chiefs. The Bills are done with it. The Bills pick 28th. The Chiefs pick 32nd. The Bills have been making calls to move up in the draft because they want a true identifiable number one, and I do feel you can get number one receivers this year in the draft. Last year was different. The two best wide receivers, stat-wise, rookie wide receivers, was Puka Nacua, who was the third selection in the fifth round by the Rams, and, of course, Rashee Rice that finished number two, and he was a second rounder. This year, much different, more quality guys in the first round. So if Buffalo's at 28, 27 sits out there large. That's the Arizona Cardinals. Because you got to think, you look at 23 is the Vikings. They're probably going to be packaging that pick up to get a quarterback. So throw that out the window. Dallas Cowboys, they wouldn't deal with you last year. So would they deal with you this year? I doubt it. Green Bay a possibility. Buccaneers, possibility. Cardinals, a definite possibility. But forget about the Bills and the Ravens as far as the
so
Chiefs.
So I don't think we should discount the Cowboys. The reason why the Cowboys didn't do business with the Chiefs is because the Chiefs wanted to take the guy that they wanted to take. That's why it didn't work out. The Chiefs wanted Mozzie Smith. They ended up taking Mozzie Smith with the pick that the Chiefs were calling about.
And they've dealt with them in the past. I mean, Parker Anger was traded to the Cowboys.
Yeah, like I'm not going to discount that they could potentially do some sort of business with the Cowboys, just because it wouldn't shock me if Jerry Jones wanted to get some more draft capital so they can get cheaper, because you've got to work on an extension for Dak Prescott if you want to bring him back. And he's got a pretty fat cap hit here, and he's going to have some fat cap hits, so you want to be very careful about getting too much. You want to save some money there with some draft picks. So I wouldn't discount the Cowboys there.
One thing is, the Chiefs are picking 32nd. Typically, the NFL gives first-round grades to 20, 22, 23 players. Let's say you're first round. And then anybody beyond that, basically they're saying, maybe first round, throw a dart, probably second round. Last year's draft wasn't that loaded. There was like 12 to 15 guys that actually got first-round grades.
It depends on the team.
Last year.
Now, it depends on the team.
If you say, could the Chiefs move back? Because right now the Chiefs are picking at the very end of the second round, pick 64. So could they get something early in round two? Well, here's how round two starts. Carolina at 33, Patriots at 34, Cardinals at 35, all potential trade partners for the Chiefs. The Commanders, then the Chargers at 37, take them out. They're not going to do business with you. Then the Titans, and then Carolina once again. So Carolina's sitting there with 33 and 39. Could Carolina, who's not ready for primetime, they're not ready to compete yet. That becomes a very attractive thing. Could the Chiefs get in the early part of the second round? If they say, okay, the receiver that we really wanted is not there, they didn't trade up at this point, couldn't find a trade partner, could they move back? Yeah, I wouldn't move back in the second round unless you can get a top five or six pick in that second round.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only way.
But a lot of trade partners sitting there.
Yeah, but there are. But I think if you're the Chiefs, you're better off moving up now than you are moving down. Because there's enough receivers in this draft class that are first round level to where you can move up and you can still get. You can, I mean, it'll cost you a little bit, but you can still get a really good receiver. Like, they're at 32, probably 27. The two teams I'd be looking at, 19 with the Rams, 27 with the Cardinals. Those are the two picks there. Maybe the Cowboys. We'll see about that. And I certainly think that the Vikings will probably move that 23rd overall and see if they can move up into the top five so that they can try to get a quarterback, probably Drake May. And then whoever gets that 23 is probably going to be someone that you could also potentially trade with, because whoever is moving out of the top five probably wants to accumulate some draft capital. So in that regards, you could probably make a deal with them too. So I honestly kind of look at the situation. I think there's options there. The Chiefs have to be ready to part with some draft capital that might be really valuable, maybe even next year's first. But if you look at the state of their roster right now, and the way that they draft on day two and even day three, they can afford to move some picks away if they can get a marquee receiver that they don't have to worry about paying a long-term deal to for 5 years. So I kind of feel like this is a good situation to be in if you're the Chiefs, because there's a lot of good wide receivers. You don't have to move into like the top 15 to get one. You can get into the top 20 and really have like a great choice, a great selection of guys there in the second half of the first round. And not only that, but you're now going.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To be able to use some of that draft capital to get a marquee guy that you don't have to worry about paying long term.
As we sit right now, the Chiefs have seven picks, none in the sixth round. The good news for the Chiefs is, because you think about the L'Jarius Sneed trade, and people are like, well, did they get enough from them? The Vikings were going to offer a pick this year and next year, but those medicals were not great for L'Jarius Sneed. It's why this thing took a long time to go. But the Titans did agree to give the Chiefs the first of their seventh-round pick in that pick swap. You think, oh, they swapped seventh-round picks. Well, the Chiefs were going to be picking fifth from last in the NFL draft, fifth from the Mr. Irrelevant. They now pick the first pick in the seventh round. The Titans had three picks. That's who the Chiefs get. They get pick 221, which is the first pick in the seventh round. They don't have a sixth-rounder, so that first pick in the seventh round is kind of an end at the sixth-round pick. That's valuable. The Chiefs do big damage and do good business in that seventh round. They got that comp pick in the fifth round. Do they have the ammo to move up? I think it depends on when the wide receiver run goes. Brian Thomas would be perfect for the Kansas City Chiefs. You don't want to settle on a receiver. Now, Hollywood Brown's here, which I do think may eliminate Xavier Worthy a little bit because they're the same type of receivers.
Well, I don't know if it eliminates him. But, I mean, it's a one-year deal.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown's a one-year deal, and I doubt he's going to – when you put him with Mahomes and Reed,
yeah, he probably prices himself out.
Which is fine for the Chiefs. You get guys on a rookie contract. This is what teams are doing with wide receivers. That's why the wide receiver market wasn't great this year in free agency, because the draft is so good at getting the wide receivers. But what are the Bills going to do? The Bills could throw a wrench into everything if they go up and, say, get like a Brian Thomas, which is probably what they'd be earmarking.
Yeah, I mean, I think I cannot – who I don't recall who's picking 17th, because the Bengals at the 18th overall pick. You might want to move ahead to 17 if you can.
17 is Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
It's your old friend Doug Peterson.
It's your old friend. So, like, I think they'd be willing to do business if it were the right
because
situation.
Because the Bengals are 18th.
Right.
Like, so, 17th might put you in the realm of Brock Bowers, who, by the way, I don't think
those guys
was working out at Camp Pat.
I think Bowers goes before that.
He was working out at Camp Pat.
Yeah, he was. I think
he goes way earlier.
I think he goes way earlier. But, like, yeah, I think if you can get ahead of the Bengals at 17, then I think you're in a really great position, because now I think Brian Thomas Jr. does not go past 18. I do not think he goes past 18. So I think if you can get up to 17, you're in a good position to get basically the receiver of your choice, whether it's Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, or A.D. Mitchell. One of those three, whoever the Chiefs prefer. I think one of those, they could get either of those three guys at 17. And that's, I think, the perfect position to be in. Probably going to cost you a future first, I believe, but I think it's going to be worth it to get essentially a receiver for 5 years on a rookie deal. That's advantageous for a team like the Chiefs, who do have a lot of premium contracts. You basically have two quarterbacks on your roster in terms of salary with Mahomes and with Chris Jones now. So I think it's very advantageous to have that kind of a contract on your roster.
The other news, Carson Wentz now, the backup quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. So not going to take a stab at a quarterback.
He's a backup.
In the later rounds. Cool. Perfect. It's a perfect situation, because you got to have two. You got to have two good quarterbacks in the NFL, and the Chiefs have two good quarterbacks. But you have to think, okay, they might be one of the better teams, top three teams, as far as a quarterback and a backup quarterback in this situation. But 32, I've seen a lot of tackles mock the Chiefs, like a Jordan Morgan, guys like that from Arizona. Was a left tackle, but probably going to play guard in the NFL. And don't forget arm length. I know it's kind of geeky, but it does matter to Andy Reid. Each tackle's, on average, been over 34-inch arms. He's got 32 and 5/8-inch arms, I think, is what Jordan Morgan does. Amarius Mims has been a popular selection from Georgia. Had a great combine, but he had 6 starts last year before that high ankle sprain. So he was a right tackle, not a left tackle. So are you going to get a left tackle at 32? Chances are Andy Reid's not going to start a rookie tackle to guard the blind side of Mahomes. A receiver gives you a guy that will play on this team this year.
Yes, yeah, and not only that, but it's a premium position, a position that you could really need, and I think when you get to the first round, you tackle your biggest needs, and I know a lot of people are a little antsy about Wanye playing that position. Look, the options that are there late in the first round to tackle, they're not better than Wanye. Like, Wanye's a better option than
most of
these guys.
He got 4 starts last year, which showed that they
trust him. Yeah, he got 4 starts as a rookie.
On both sides of the line.
Yeah, this is a guy that played a lot of left tackle when he was in college at Tennessee. So, yeah, no, I definitely think that that this is the situation where you tackle your most important position. Right? The tackle position, I think, for the Chiefs is not as much of a concern as I think a lot of people have. I think if you're looking at the situation for offensive line in the draft, guard depth is where I'm looking at, because I think that's the position you really want to hit.
Coming up next, Chiefs go rugby player from Europe on the team, plus Rashee Rice, his potential suspension. How does that affect the Chiefs' free agency plans and the NFL draft? We'll discuss that next.
Erectile dysfunction affects many men in America today, but it's not just the man who's affected. It's also often their partner. But successful treatment of ED can truly bring relationships back to life. This is Jeff, the CEO of Promenic Restorative Men's Health, and that's why I'm pleased to announce the opening of our second location of Heartland Men's Health right here in Independence, Missouri. As a Promenic affiliate, Heartland Men's Health is a part of a group that has successfully treated tens of thousands of men over the last decade with treatments that are shown in medical studies to be effective in well over 90% of men. And unlike wave therapy groups or online pill sellers, we offer a variety of treatments to help you get the results you want. You could even find you're performing like you haven't in years. So call Heartland Men's Health today. Your initial visit is only $99 and includes a medical consult, blood work, and if medically advised, a test dose. And if that test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. Call 844-447-6600 or go to heartlandmenshealth.com. That's Heartland Men's Health.
Hey, welcome back to Character Concerns. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Chiefs go rugby with Luis Rees-Zammit, who's got a lot of people excited about that. And I say, just caution at this point. They can't put him on the practice squad because they can have 17 guys on the practice squad and can elevate him 3 times throughout the year. I know he's listed at running back. They bring back Clyde instead of J.K. Dobbins, but Chiefs going rugby player just to see what he's got, just because the international program the NFL has. See what you got. See what you got in the tank. And it's a 3-year deal with Luis. Can they develop him into a player or not? I don't think that affects the draft whatsoever.
Luis. You calling him Luis. Yeah, it's Luis.
Here's the thing about...
Runs a 4.43, by the way, so he is fast.
Yeah, he's fast. And he said he was running like a 4.2 in his practice sessions leading up to the pro day that they had for
like
the
Keon Coleman
IPP
that runs faster in the games.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really interesting what is going down with him, because he is an incredible athlete. His dad played, I believe, in NFL Europe. So, you know, it's not like he just decided, you know, all of a sudden to just try football. This was a world-class player. He was playing for the Welsh rugby team, and he was one of the up-and-coming players in the sport. And I think for him, he always had this dream of playing American football, and this was his opportunity. And the NFL is looking to branch out in Europe and elsewhere, and they've got this program, the International Player Pathway. Jordan Mailata, who just signed a three-year extension with the Eagles, is like the star of that program. He was a rugby player down in Australia and just joined. And
he's proved his worth.
Got drafted by the Eagles in the sixth round and eventually became their starting left tackle. So, you know, he's definitely been a big part of that. I look at this signing and I just see – you see the potential. You watch highlights of him. He's not like one of those guys that's just – he's not a Mike Allstott. Like, that's what you've heard people kind of, oh, well, he'll just truck people and you can run him as the quarterback and sneak him because
he's
just a rugby.
There's your fourth and one answer.
Yeah, but, like, that's not what he was. He was a winger, which means that he was – it was kind of like, you know, the speed option the speed option play where you got the quarterback running off tackle and then he pitches it to a guy and the guy goes up the sidelines. The guy going up the sidelines was Lewis Rees-Zamet. That's what he was. He was not the scrum guy. He was the pitch guy, you know, goes right down the sideline and gets what they call a try instead of a touchdown. I think he's a gadget player. If he makes the team, if he plays this year, he's a gadget guy. He's a screen guy. He's a lineup in the running back position, and you know he could get handoffs. He could be a guy they fake to. He could be a guy they pitch to. There's a lot of things they could do with him. And he's 6'3". He's 194. He's got good size. He's got good speed. Like I definitely don't want to put too many expectations on him because football's hard to learn and is very different from rugby. But I think a lot of people forget.
This, we're talking about the 1% in the NFL. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Yes. It's not like just to make that transition.
It's not easy to do.
No.
Most guys who try to make that transition, it doesn't work for them. Regardless, you know, we've seen some basketball players be able to do it, like Tony Gonzalez, like Antonio Gates, but it doesn't. And I think Jimmy Graham as well. But
Antonio Gates, by the way, had a chance to go play with Nick Saban at Michigan State, but then Nick left, and so that changed things, so he didn't play football. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's a good signing, I think, from an athletic standpoint. He's athletic enough to be on an NFL roster. Does he develop the technique? Does he understand playbooks? Because those playbooks are not easy to learn. Like, rugby's very free-flowing, and it's you know, very much a feel type of game, and in football, it's very strategic. You have your role. You play your role out in the play, and then, you know, you don't get a whole lot of chance to freestyle. So it's going to be really different for him. The structure might be something he can't do. So we'll see.
We'll see. Of course, people have been saying third and one, fourth and one. By the way, I'll mention this. Carson Wentz was one of the best short yardage runners in the NFL. His EPA, best EPA on quarterback sneaks in the last decade. This was before the tush push there. I just don't expect a ton. Gunner on special teams? Yeah, because the physicality is there, but as far as can you trust him as a punt returner back there in front of 70,000 people, may have to wait on that just a little bit. Rashee Rice, that situation, listen, Hollywood Brown has missed games. He played in 14 last year, only 12 the year before. So, you know, he's missed some games. He's missed 5 2 years ago. Missed 3 this year. It's 8 games in the last 2 years. And then if you do have a suspension for Rashee Rice for just a couple of games, who knows where that's going to go? I mean, the facts aren't out yet, but the NFL has no problem suspending people. We know that. So what are you going to do? I think it even makes it more clear with wide receivers. Not only that, but free agent wide receivers, the Chiefs as well. Not a ton of good names out there. I mean, OBJ, don't want that one. Hunter Renfro. I would take Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, I would take him.
I would take Hunter Renfro. McColl's going to be still out there. Jamal Agnew, Deontay Hardy. Which direction to go? And I still think that free agent wide receiver is a point for the Chiefs. But picking a receiver in the first round, if it wasn't clear to you before and you had this debate in your mind, do they need offensive line? Do they need wide receiver? Just remind you, Andy Reid, do you think he's really going to trust a guy that's a right tackle in college? Because that's basically what you're going to get at the end of the first round. Do you trust that guy to be in the game and move him to the left side in the National Football League? And I know Kingsley at BYU people like, and they've linked that to the Chiefs because he's a left tackle. I caution it Because, again, playing at BYU, much different than the AFC West.
Yeah, and I mean, look, let's just – first off, the only rookie tackle that I can recall Andy Reid ever starting in as a rookie was Wonnie Morris. Eric Fisher did not start as a left tackle.
Now, he does not mind starting you at all at center and guard.
Yeah, he'll start you, and he'll start you at right tackle as a rookie. He's just not going to do it at left tackle. That's just not the position he's going to do it. Wonnie already has 4 games under his belt. And he's a guy that was a right tackle when he was at Oklahoma, though he did play more at left tackle when he was at Tennessee. But he was a right tackle at Oklahoma, and they moved him during the early stages of training camp. He was playing left tackle on the second team. There's a reason why. That was not an accident. That was not, oh, let's just see what he does. I think that the Chiefs, very much like what happened with Darian Kennard. If you remember in 22, they drafted Kennard, and he was a guard at Kentucky, but he was a guy that had great arm length, great hand size, and they were like, well, this guy might be a tackle. And so they tried him at a right tackle, didn't quite work out. They also tried him at left tackle, too, didn't quite work out, and he ended up falling down the depth chart. But the Chiefs look at these guys like this, and they see the physical measurements, they see the talent, and they're like, we think we can turn this guy into a starting tackle for the team. And I think Wanya showed you enough.
The combine, 100%.
And I think the Chiefs really, really liked what they saw from Wanya. That's the reason why they put him out there. It's the reason why they had him play instead of moving, what's his name, Joe Tooney over to left tackle, which he can do, or moving Juwan Taylor over to left tackle, which he can do, though not that great. They decided to put Wanya there. There's a reason why. And he wasn't bad. I mean, he gave up a couple sacks, got beat. That's going to happen when you are in his position and you're a rookie and you're going to be against really good edge rushers. You're going to get beat sometimes.
And he had the play because Donovan Smith wasn't in there all the time. Right. I give Wanya credit. I thought that was one of the more important draft picks.
Yes, me too.
Because it determines what you're going to do the next year, how good Wanya played in that situation. Tooney out there, I know people like him out there, but again, we'll go back to arm length.
Yeah.
Does he trust that? There's a reason why you're a guard in the National Football League. You got to have that reach for these outstanding pass rushers that you face, especially in this division.
Yeah, I definitely think that. I mean, you could have, and like I said, they could have had Tooney play. They could have slid Juwan over and put Wanya at the right tackle. They didn't do that. They put Wanya at the left tackle for a reason. I think Donovan Smith is going to be a good option for the team as far as getting a good veteran tackle. Maybe he wins that starting job again. I kind of hope you don't.
Neck and injury concerns, but if you have a guy that can step in like Wanya and you have those two guys battle out for the position.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's the best option there. I'd be cool if they used like maybe an early third day pick to get some depth at tackle, but I'm not really interested in first round tackle because the guys at the back end of the first round, not it. Like, I know people like Kingsley Suamataya. I get it.
He's a left tackle, okay? Yes,
he is actually a left
tackle.
You're
gonna trust him in the NFL.
He is absolutely a left tackle. Competition's very different. You go from, you know, basically 1 year in the Big 12 versus a guy in Wanya who played SEC and Big 12 and a guy who has played in the NFL. Like I said, I understand, but there's a reason why they took Wanya. There's a reason why they traded up to get Wanya. And that's not no damn accident. They definitely like him. I think he's got a lot of potential. I don't know if he's going to be a Jason Peters or, you know, insert other Hall of Fame caliber tackle. He's not that. He's not a Tyron Smith for the Cowboys. But if he could turn out to be Eric Fisher, I mean, who's complaining about Eric? You won a Super Bowl with Eric Fisher as your start. If he turns out to be Orlando Brown Jr., you won a Super Bowl with Orlando Brown Jr. as your starting left tackle. If he turns out to be a Donovan Smith, you won a Super Bowl with Donovan Smith as your left tackle. Like, I understand people want that easy, quick fix, that quote-unquote plug-and-play guy. But, like, it's not that simple. And some guys just don't have that aptitude. So I get why people are really kind of bookmarking tackle first round. I don't think they need it.
Coming up next, we'll look at the Kansas City Chiefs as far as the positions of need in this draft and why defensive line might not be as important now with the latest addition. Welcome back to Character Concerns. Jay Binkley, Chris Evansero. Character Concerns podcast out on Tuesday that we do each and every week. Live show again for 3 hours on Thursday as we steamroll towards the draft, what, 19 days away. The draft in Detroit this year. By the way, our text line number, 913-586-7610, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. If you have questions for the draft, there's a couple good ones we'll get into before the show ends. But Mike Dana, now back with the Kansas City Chiefs. He of 6.5 sacks last year. Neil Farrell was the only defensive lineman under contract before any of this guys came back to the Chiefs. And then all of a sudden it became, well, got to go defensive line. Got to have somebody else on defensive line. Now, you had the edge rushers, obviously, with George Karloftis and Felix there. But with Chris Jones coming back, Mike Pedell, which I think has been a big addition, back with the Chiefs, did such a great job last year on the playoff run. Derek Nottie's back. Turk Wharton's back. Now with Mike Dana. Defensive line does not become one of the top choices for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm still going wide receiver one. I'm not budging off that. That's the way it's been basically since September, to be honest with you. And it's even more now. Offensive line depth, 100%, would be number two. But I do not have defensive line, and I certainly don't have, like we saw Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports recently mocked Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota to the Kansas City Chiefs at 32. That is not what they're doing in the first round, a safety.
Yeah, so I think I would have loved for them to have drafted a defensive tackle just so you can have more than just Neil Farrell and Chris Jones under multi-year contracts. So I would have loved that. But yeah, getting 3 years for Mike Dana.
Neil can do at this point.
Yeah, that's a really nice contract to get him for $8 million a year, and he's able to give you 5+ sacks a year, and you know, be this good force up the middle. I mean, there's no reason why Mike Dana should be so good rushing from the three tech because he's their smallest offensive lineman. So what he's been able to do the last 2 years has been so amazing for this defense, and it's a big reason why they've been able to compete. And I think that now you look at it and yeah, wide receiver is your main focus in round one. But after that, I think you can use that second round pick as ammunition to move up. If you really, really like a receiver, if you really like a guy, you now have the ammunition to move up, but also you can tackle some of those other positions that could be needs in the future. Like I said, at the beginning of the show, guard is going to be something that you're going to have to tackle because both of your guards, I think, on the team, Joe Tooney and Trey Smith, I think they're playing their last years in Kansas City. Maybe they extend Trey Smith after this year. Maybe they pick him over Creed, or maybe they can come to a good agreement to keep both of those guys. But we know how the biz works. Probably not going to happen. So you need to address and prepare for a future where you have to find two different guards to start for you in 25. It makes sense to at least try to get one of them this year. And if there's a guy sitting there in the second round that you really like and you don't have to move that pick in order to move up in the first round and get a receiver, I think guard would be a really great position to tackle in at the end of round two.
And it's what the Chiefs do. I mean, they've always done this, even pre-Brett Veach. When you go out and get Eric Fisher, even though you have Brandon Albert, you know, and they draft a player they think that can step in the following year. Shamari Connor, my favorite pick this past year. They moved up at the fourth round to get Shamari Connor because they thought this could be Legarius Sneed's replacement going forward because you have money to pay him. So the Chiefs do draft players to give them value, and I think the Chiefs need draft picks. Obviously, you look at Brett Veach and what he's done. That Super Bowl run against the Eagles, that was where the Chiefs had to rely on their draft. They had five rookie defensive backs playing in that Super Bowl. They needed it. Needed Isaiah Pacheco to be your leading rusher from the seventh round. The Chiefs needed 21 of the last 22 draft picks for the Chiefs going into last year were still on this roster. Only Bo Peet wasn't, which is pretty incredible when you consider going through COVID and everything else that nobody really did well in the draft. Chiefs did, and that's even without having a combine. They've done well through the draft. They value the seventh round picks. Last year, not so much. It wasn't like you need these rookies. Totally different than the year before. The year before, they really relied. And when you have a quarterback that's got the highest cap hit of any quarterback that's won a Super Bowl and the highest cap hit of anybody last year, the Chiefs do things differently. They pay their quarterback. They go a different direction. Look at the 49ers. They didn't have to pay their quarterback. They were able to pay other players, but they relied on the draft. This year is the year that I think they're going to rely on the draft, and that includes the running back position, which I definitely think is a mid-round selection for the Chiefs at this point. Wide receiver, offensive line. Yes, you might throw another stab at a cornerback because they do so well at that. Don't have to get them in the first round, second round, third round. Chiefs have value. I mean, let's not forget, L'Jarius Sneed came out of the fourth round. But a running back, I think, in the later parts, could be the first pick in the seventh round where you get that running back.
Possibly. It wouldn't shock me if they just didn't take one. But, yeah, that's a position you could find a lot of value in. But something tells me, especially because, like, you know, Jim Nagy before the Senior Bowl talked about how day three there might be some depth issues there as far as finding good talent.
Yeah, because they had a hard time at the Senior Bowl. Right. He talks about that, the mid-rounds, day three being not much depth.
Be tough.
Name, image, and likeness. Guys are staying in school longer, which does, I think, benefit the NFL in the long run, that you're not necessarily redshirting players as much like we've seen in the past, like a Tano Pass and, you know, somebody like that. But name, image, and likeness, players are staying in school longer in the Senior Bowl, which, by the way, can't have juniors at this point now. And so the East-West Shrine Game, all of them could do it, but they kind of back off because name, image, and likeness has kind of changed the game.
Yeah, so you kind of look at that, and it makes me think, like, probably day three, the Chiefs will take some shots at some positions that are really valuable. And they might get some good D linemen that maybe didn't produce, but you see, like, the talent. Maybe they were highly recruited. Maybe they're 4 or 5-star guys, but they had to transfer out and go somewhere else because of injuries or production or whatnot. I expect the Chiefs probably take a little bit more risk there when they get to day three than they normally would. I mean, though, really, the last couple of years, you could say that they've taken a little bit more risk in general. Going and getting an HBCU guy like Joshua Williams, who turned out to be a really good pick. He had the physical measurables that they really liked, and he's turned into a good starting corner.
And Jalen Watts, another
Jalen Watts is another guy who was Washington State kid, and he was out of football for a little bit, and then he goes to Washington State, shows what he can do, seventh round pick, turns into a starting caliber corner for them. I think that's where you kind of go, is like, and that's where like your scouting is going to be really important. And I think that's why it makes a lot of sense if you're the Chiefs to really kind of take some shots, you know, buy some lottery tickets, if you will, on day three of the draft.
This is a year that's not necessarily a wide receiver in the first round. I want three pass catchers out of this draft. I have Luke McCaffrey in our last mock that we did in the mid rounds going to the Chiefs because the speed, the elements, the way he can run the routes, everything about him. I definitely, and it's still want a tight end in there as well. I know they brought in Irv Smith, so it's not as pertinent that the Chiefs go tight end, but to have a developmental tight end, okay, because you're not getting a Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers, to me, is the ultimate draft pick, but you're not going to get him. That is the one guy I'd 100% go. We'll get to your questions about wide receivers that you guys have. But also, J.K. Dobbins was in here for the workout. That Chiefs bring Clyde back. Does that change things in the draft at running back? Welcome back to Care for Concerns, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, Chiefs 7 draft picks this year, April 25th. Things get going in the first round, which I love the way the NFL does first rounds. Standalone, because then it kind of resets, the board resets for the second round, makes it fun. If you're out and about, April 25th will be at the Landing in Liberty, brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Going to be a bracket contest to pick players in the first round, so test your skills there for a chance at $610. The 610 staff will be in attendance. Chris and I will be doing a live broadcast of the first round, which we always have a lot of fun doing that. J.K. Dobbins came in for a workout, Chris. They did not close the book on bringing him back. J.K. Dobbins, tremendous talent. When he was at Ohio State. But it brings up that Ohio State players that they don't draft. That means they're going to sign one in free agency. They had 2,000 yards his first year at Ohio State. Injuries hampered him. One carry this previous year before tore the Achilles. And he went down and came in for a workout. Would be a cheap deal, a prove-a deal. The Chiefs love these prove-a deals, which I think is great.
Oh, yeah, they love making people prove it.
They bring back their former first-round pick, Clyde, for another spin at things. So you get that running back room now with Clyde and you have Isaiah, and you have Zamet, the rugby player, as well. Will they need another running back? And I think, yes, you need another running back in the draft to supply that talent. But regardless, J.K. Dobbins, I believe, is out there on standby in case of emergency break glass if they don't draft a running back they like in this year's draft.
Maybe he signed somewhere else. I, if I were the Chiefs, I wouldn't hold out too much hope in him just because he's had three season-ending injuries in 4 years in his career. So
it's ton of talent.
It's a ton of talent, but like if you can't play, it doesn't matter. And so
can't make the club in the tub.
Yeah, you know, as the great coach Herm Edwards once said, the best ability is availability. And so I mean, if like I said, if they're in a situation where they could use a third running back and, you know, everything checks out medically, then, you know, hey, you know, why not give it a spin? But to be honest, at this situation with them having Clyde now, I'd much rather they draft a guy. I think there's good running backs you can get on day three. Guys like Isaac Grindo, guys like Cody Schrader.
But you and I both love Grindo. He was in our Chiefs mock draft.
Yes. Love that kid.
Fourth round. We had a
fourth round.
Fourth or fifth round is probably where you're looking at.
That's about,
Isaac.
I think probably like even as early as late third, because I could see a team really like falling in love with the size and measurables.
Runs a 4.33.
4.33. He's 6 foot. He's two. I think it was 220 or like about 220.
41.5 inch vertical, which is more than anybody.
Like this kid's an athlete. And like I said, he's a bigger version of Isaiah Pacheco. And we love how Pacheco runs. We love the kind of size and speed combo that he presents, the power he presents when he runs. Same thing with Isaac Grindo. So, I really like that option there. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not against Dobbins being on the roster if they feel like he's a better want, that easy, quick fix, that quote-unquote plug-and-play guy. But, like, it's not that simple. And some guys just don't have that aptitude. So I get why people are really kind of bookmarking tackle first round. I don't think they need it.
Coming up next, we'll look at the Kansas City Chiefs as far as the positions of need in this draft and why defensive line might not be as important now with the latest addition. Welcome back to Character Concerns. Jay Binkley, Chris Ivancero. Put a new Character Concerns podcast out on Tuesday that we do each and every week. Live show again for 3 hours on Thursday as we steamroll towards the draft with 19 days away. The draft in Detroit this year. By the way, our text line number 913-586-7610, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. If you have questions for the draft, there's a couple good ones we'll get into before the show ends. But Mike Dana, now back with the Kansas City Chiefs. He of 6.5 sacks last year. Neil Farrell was the only defensive lineman under contract before any of this guys came back to the Chiefs. And then all of a sudden it became, well, got to go defensive line. Got to have somebody else on defensive line. Now, you had the edge rushers, obviously, with George Karloftis and Felix there. But with Chris Jones coming back, Mike Pedell, which I think has been a big addition, back with the Chiefs, did such a great job last year on the playoff run. Derek Nottie's back. Turk Wharton's back. Now with Mike Dana. Defensive line does not become one of the top choices for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm still going wide receiver one. I'm not budging off that. That's the way it's been basically since September, to be honest with you. And it's even more now. Offensive line depth, 100%, would be number two. But I do not have defensive line, and I certainly don't have, like we saw Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports recently mock Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota to the Kansas City Chiefs at 32. That is not what they're doing in the first round, a safety.
Yeah, so I think I would have loved for them to have drafted a defensive tackle just so you can have more than just Neil Farrell and Chris Jones under multi-year contracts. So I would have loved that. But yeah, getting 3 years for Mike Danner.
What Deal can do at this point.
Yeah, that's a really nice contract to get him for $8 million a year, and he's able to give you 5+ sacks a year, and you know, be this good force up the middle. I mean, there's no reason why Mike Danner should be so good rushing from the three tech, because he's their smallest offensive lineman. So what he's been able to do the last 2 years has been so amazing for this defense, and it's a big reason why they've been able to compete. And I think that now you look at it, and yeah, wide receiver is your main focus in round one, but after that, I think you can use that second round pick as ammunition to move up if you really, really like a receiver. If you really like a guy, you now have the ammunition to move up, but also you can tackle some of those other positions that could be needs in the future. Like I said at the beginning of the show, guard is going to be something that you're going to have to tackle, because both of your guards, I think, on the team, Joe Tooney and Trey Smith, I think they're playing their last years in Kansas City. Maybe they extend Trey Smith after this year. Maybe they pick him over Creed, or maybe they could come to a good agreement to keep both of those guys. But we know how the biz works. Probably not going to happen. So you need to address and prepare for a future where you have to find two different guards to start for you in 25. It makes sense to at least try to get one of them this year. And if there's a guy sitting there in the second round that you really like, and you don't have to move that pick in order to move up in the first round and get a receiver, I think guard would be a really great position to tackle in at the end of round two.
And it's what the Chiefs do. I mean, they've always done this, even pre-Brett Veach. When you go out and get Eric Fisher, even though you have Brandon Albert, you know, and they draft a player they think that can step in the following year. Shamari Connor, my favorite pick this past year. They moved up at the fourth round to get Shamari Connor because they thought this could be Legarius Sneed's replacement going forward, because mm-hmm. you have enough money to pay him. So the Chiefs do draft players to give them value, and I think the Chiefs need draft picks. Obviously, you look at Brett Veach and what he's done. That Super Bowl run against the Eagles, that was where the Chiefs had to rely on their draft. They had five rookie defensive backs playing in that Super Bowl. They needed it. Needed Isaiah Pacheco to be your leading rusher from the seventh round. The Chiefs needed 21 of the last 22 draft picks for the Chiefs going into last year were still on this roster. Only Bo Peet wasn't, which is pretty incredible when you consider going through COVID and everything else, that nobody really did well in the draft. Chiefs did, and that's even without having a combine. They've done well through the draft. They value the seventh-round picks. Last year, not so much. It wasn't like you need these rookies. Totally different than the year before. The year before, they really relied. And when you have a quarterback that's got the highest cap hit of any quarterback that's won a Super Bowl and the highest cap hit of anybody last year, the Chiefs do things differently. They pay their quarterback. They go a different direction. Look at the 49ers. They didn't have to pay their quarterback. They were able to pay other players, but they relied on the draft. This year is the year that I think they're going to rely on the draft, and that includes the running back position, which I definitely think is a mid-round selection for the Chiefs at this point. Wide receiver, offensive line, yes, you might throw another stab at a cornerback because they do so well at that. Don't have to get them in the first round, second round, third round. Chiefs have value. I mean, let's not forget, Legarius Sneed came out of the fourth round, but a running back, I think, in the later parts, could be the first pick in the seventh round where you get that running back.
Possibly. It wouldn't shock me if they just didn't take one. But, yeah, that's a position you could find a lot of value in. But something tells me, especially because, like, you know, Jim Nagy before the Senior Bowl talked about how day three there might be some depth issues there as far as finding good talent.
Yeah, because they had a hard time at the Senior Bowl. Right. He talks about that, the mid-rounds, day three being not much depth.
Be tough.
Name, image, and likeness. Guys are staying in school longer, which does, I think, benefit the NFL in the long run, that you're not necessarily redshirting players as much like we've seen in the past, like a Tano Passanio, you know, somebody like that. But name, image, and likeness, players are staying in school longer in the Senior Bowl, which, by the way, can't have juniors at this point now. And so the East-West Shrine Game, all of them could do it, but they kind of back off because name, image, and likeness has kind of changed the game.
Yeah, so you kind of look at that, and it makes me think, like, probably day three, the Chiefs will take some shots at some positions that are really valuable. And they might get some good D linemen that maybe didn't produce, but you see, like, the talent. Maybe they were highly recruited. Maybe they're 4 or 5-star guys, but they had to transfer out and go somewhere else because of injuries or production or whatnot. I expect the Chiefs probably take a little bit more risk there when they get to day three than they normally would. I mean, though, really, the last couple of years, you could say that they've taken a little bit more risk in general. Going and getting an HBCU guy like Joshua Williams, who turned out to be a really good pick. He had the physical measurables that they really liked, and he's turned into a good starting corner.
And Jalen Watson, another
Jalen
seventh
Watts
round.
Is another guy who was Washington State kid, and he was out of football for a little bit, and then he goes to Washington State, shows what he can do, seventh round pick, turns into a starting caliber corner for them. I think that's where you kind of go, is like, and that's where like your scouting is going to be really important, and I think that's why it makes a lot of sense if you're the Chiefs to really kind of take some shots, you know, buy some lottery tickets, if you will, on day three of the draft.
This is a year that's not necessarily a wide receiver in the first round. I want three pass catchers out of this draft. I have Luke McCaffrey in our last mock that we did in the mid rounds going to the Chiefs because the speed, the elements, the way he can run the routes, everything about him. I definitely, and it's throwing a tight end in there as well. I know they brought in Irv Smith, so it's not as pertinent that the Chiefs go tight end, but to have a developmental tight end, okay? Because you're not getting a Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers, to me, is the ultimate draft pick, but you're not going to get him. That is the one guy I'd 100% go. We'll get to your questions about wide receivers that you guys have. But also, J.K. Dobbins was in here for the workout. That Chiefs bring Clyde back. Does that change things in the draft at running back? Welcome back to Care for Concerns, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, Chiefs 7 draft picks this year, April 25th. Things get going in the first round, which I love the way the NFL does first rounds. Standalone, because then it kind of resets, the board resets for the second round, makes it fun. If you're out and about, April 25th will be at the Landing in Liberty, brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Going to be a bracket contest to pick players in the first round. So test your skills there for a chance at $610. The 610 staff will be in attendance. Chris and I will be doing a live broadcast of the first round, which we always have a lot of fun doing that. J.K. Dobbins came in for a workout, Chris. They did not close the book on bringing him back. J.K. Dobbins, tremendous talent. When he was at Ohio State. But it brings up that Ohio State players that they don't draft. That means they're going to sign one in free agency. They had 2,000 yards his first year at Ohio State. Injuries hampered him. One carry this previous year before tore the Achilles. And he went down and came in for a workout. Would be a cheap deal, a prove-a deal. The Chiefs love these prove-a deals, which I think is great.
Oh, yeah, they love making people prove it.
They bring back their former first-round pick, Clyde, for another spin at things. So you get that running back room now with Clyde, and you have Isaiah, and you have Zammit, the rugby player, as well. Will they need another running back? And I think, yes, you need another running back in the draft to supply that talent. But regardless, J.K. Dobbins, I believe, is out there on standby in case of emergency break glass if they don't draft a running back they like in this year's draft.
Maybe he signs somewhere else. I, if I were the Chiefs, I wouldn't hold out too much hope in him just because he's had three season-ending injuries in 4 years in his career. So
it's ton of talent.
It's a ton of talent, but like if you can't play, it doesn't matter. And so
can't make the club in the tub.
Yeah, you know, as the great coach Herm Edwards once said, the best ability is availability. Yeah. And yeah. So I mean, if, like I said, if they're in a situation where they could use a third running back and, you know, everything checks out medically, then, you know, hey, you know, why not give it a spin? But to be honest, at this situation with them having Clyde now, I'd much rather they draft a guy. I think there's good running backs you can get on day three. Guys like Isaac Grindo, guys like Cody Schrader.
But you and I both love Grindo. He was in our Chiefs mock draft.
Yes. Love that kid.
Fourth round. We had a
fourth
fifth,
round.
Fourth round.
Fourth okay. round.
Fourth or fifth round is probably where you're looking
at. It's about,
Isaac.
I think probably like even as early as late third, because I could see a team really like falling in love with the size and measurables.
Runs a 4.33.
4.33. He's 6 foot. He's two. I think it was 220 or like about 220.
41.5 inch vertical, which is more than anybody.
Like this kid's an athlete. And like I said, he's a bigger version of Isaiah Pacheco. And we love how Pacheco runs. We love the kind of size and speed combo that he presents, the power he presents when he runs. Same thing with Isaac Grindo. So, I really like that option there. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not against Dobbins being on the roster if they feel like he's a better option. I think at this point now, because you got your top two running back situation figured out, it's okay to take a little bit risk elsewhere.
From the text line, Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. From the 913, if no teams are willing to trade with the Chiefs and someone like Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett, which I do like the physicality, the speed on Leggett, I love. Could it be more of a reach in the first round?
It's a reach at 32.
But you're sitting there at 32, which is essentially the first pick.
Yeah, but he's probably a mid to late second.
But Troy Franklin, I kind of would back off that deal for the catchability.
Yeah, me too. And the route running, the limited, very limited route running.
People say, who would you take? Who would you take at 32 if all the top receivers from that tier one are gone, like Xavier Worthy? And I know a lot of people are backing off that one. Don't be enamored with the speed. He's fastest combine time ever, 4.21. You don't want to repeat a John Ross, who was on the Chiefs roster last year, the practice squad, who was selected right before Mahomes by the Bengals. Thank you, Cincinnati.
I don't like the idea of, oh, well, he's just fast, so he's going to be the next John
Ross. But he's productive. We're talking about a multi-thousand-yard receiver, a guy with 27 touchdowns in college. Xavier Worthy, better than just that speed. He, like DeSean Jackson, he could put weight on the NFL.
And people also are saying McColl, but it's like, McColl's really talented. He just didn't put in the work to be a better receiver. But he was incredibly talented.
In the two fumbles in Buffalo, that part doesn't help you.
Of those guys out there, I would take Walker. I think Tez Walker has so much talent.
He does. So much talent. Keon Coleman's the guy. He said 816 is, what do you think about Keon Coleman? Keon Coleman's interesting. You know, look at him. And during the season, you think, okay, they need a Keon Coleman who runs that. He ran the slowest 40, but he ran the fastest gauntlet, which the guy that did it the year before was Puka Nacua.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he's
exactly have
Puka.
A good 40 time.
That doesn't mean he's going to be Puka,
though. But he's got good game speed and was only the second receiver to hit over 20 miles an hour on a vertical route.
Yeah, he's
so game speed over 40 time.
Yeah, the 40 time is a little disheartening, but also, like, he didn't really pop at once the middle of the year hit. He wasn't the same guy.
We'll put a new character concerns out on Tuesday. You can hear that on Saturday as well right here. We usually don't have a live show at that point, but obviously with the rain delay in Baltimore, we did. We'll have fun. We got a lot of stuff planned out. We'll be back on Thursday night live for 3 hours talking NFL draft with some draft gurus coming on that night. For Chris and Sarah, I'm Jay Binkley saying have a good Saturday.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.